All right, we are back. Cenk Uygur, Anik Sperrin with you guys. Brilliant second hour coming up.
Brilliant,
really. Rob Perotta writes in, Cenk and John, you spent 10 times longer discussing their Yemen raid during the show than Trump did before approving it. Oh, that is unfortunately appears to be true, and it's devastating. Kiki Wellington says, how many people would still have a job if they lied to their boss in 51 out of 61 statements? Is that amazing?
Right? At TYT? I'm just kidding. No hate.
Shots fired. Okay. Brandon Atkins says, draft dodgers really love using servicemen and women as human shields. Ooh, from criticism and for cheap applause. Yes, that is... very true. Of course, Dick Cheney, another warmonger, another draft dodger, Newt Gingrich, Tom DeLay, George W. Bush, all draft dodgers, all warmongers. And Dick Cheney said he was too busy to go to Vietnam. Donald Trump pretended he had bone spurs, and Tom DeLay said that minorities took his spot. He said he would have loved to have gone, but all the spots were taken by Latinos and blacks. You know, Tom... there was a great way to fix that. You could have just volunteered. It's not like they were like, no, we ran out of spots, Tom. Sorry. All the minorities got this plum job of going to die in Vietnam.
Amazing.
Yeah. $27 from Margaret in Maryland and $50 from Jose in Indiana for TYTnetwork.com/go. That's our journalism drive. And if we get to $1.5 million, I promise you guys some awesome people that you will love. And they will do great work. Okay.
I just want to note for the record, you look so much better with a button-down shirt.
Casper, I was going to come and mess around with you earlier by showing the shirt I was wearing that has my face on it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was going to be like, hey, Anna, I'm wearing this. So you think it's a good idea? And one of our viewers sent it in, and thank you. And I loved your note with it, which was, everybody gets one of these shirts except Jimmy Dore. Shots fired.
Damn. Pew, pew.
Pew, pew. Okay. They apparently, for one reason or another, I'm not happy with Jimmy Dore, which does not make one of you.
Yeah. No, I mean, the audience has their favorites, right? Every audience member has their favorites. And my favorite thing is when I'll post a picture on social media with who I'm hosting with that day. Sometimes it's John, sometimes it's whoever else. And they'll comment on my social media and be like, oh, I love John. John's my favorite. John's so much better than Anna.
Like, what? You're on her picture. That's rude. That's rude.
But it's okay. It's okay. Sometimes John's my favorite, too. So.
No, especially during the election, but still happens from time to time now. People come up to me, and they'll, like, whisper it, right? They'll be like, Jimmy Dore. They're like Jimmy Dore. Like, yeah. Or they'll come up, swear to God, this happens all the time, Michael Shore. I'm like, what, Michael Shore what? He's like, that Michael Shore, he's the one. Have him on more, right?
Yeah.
And those are the two most common names. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Because you know.
They're on the, I don't know if it's opposite sides of the spectrum, but maybe within the Democratic side, opposite sides of the spectrum. Yeah.
So it's, one day we got to have Michael versus Jimmy oil wrestling. Turkish oil wrestling.
No.
Let's settle this the whole way. Trial by combat.
Let's not do that.
Trial by oil wrestling.
No one wants to do that. It's weird that you even thought of that. Okay, so let's move on.
So obviously we go to Venezuela next.
No, we don't.
Oh, we're not?
I reordered the stories, but we're going to do every story today. I reshuffled, okay? Executive decisions. Okay. The CEO and co-founder of Uber, Travis Kalanick, has caught himself in yet another controversy. Of course, Uber has been in the news quite a bit lately. Just yesterday, there were headlines indicating that their VP of engineering had been let go, or he was basically forced to resign because he didn't disclose that he was accused of sexual harassment when he was working at Google. Now, today, we have video that was leaked or released, I should say, by an Uber driver who was actually driving Travis Kalanick one night in early February and got into a little bit of a tiff with him. Now, video surfaced that showed dashboard camera footage of him arguing with an Uber driver who had just given him a ride. In the video, Fawazi Kamel, who gave a recording of the conversation to Bloomberg, tells Kalanick that he and other drivers suffered as a result of lower fares for writers. Now, we're going to show you a portion of the video, but I want to be clear. The video is over 6 minutes long. We can't show you the whole thing. I think you should watch the whole thing so you can understand the context. The vast majority of the video is actually very calm, and Kalanick is trying to have a calm conversation with him, to be fair to him. This is where things start to get a little loud. Take a look.
We could go higher and more expensive. You get the
So here's the thing. We could do Lux in San Francisco, so I have guys working on Lux, which will be 50 to 75% more expensive than
but
Black.
But people are not trusting you anymore. Do you think people will buy cars anymore? Unless they buy them through Europe. The invoice. Otherwise, nobody want to buy a car. I lost $97,000 because of you. I bankrupt because of you.
Look.
Yes. You keep changing every day.
What have I changed about Black?
Huh?
What
you
have
changed
I changed?
The whole business.
What?
You dropped the prices.
On Black?
Yes, you did.
Bullshit.
We started with $20.
Bullshit.
We started with $20.
You know what?
How much is the mile now? $275?
You know what?
What?
Some people don't like to take responsibility for their
own shit. I take responsibility.
They blame everything
but
in their life
on somebody
else. But why
are you sending an email for Town Car?
Good luck.
Good luck to you too, but I know you don't gonna go far.
Okay, so Kalanick was very apologetic after this video surfaced. He did release a statement to the employees at Uber, and here are the relevant parts of that note. He said, "This is the first time I've been willing to admit that I need leadership help, and I intend to get it." He also said, "To say that I'm ashamed is an extreme understatement. My job as your leader is to lead, and that starts with behaving in a way that makes us all proud. This is not what I did, and it cannot be explained away."
Okay, I'm going to maybe surprise you guys in a couple of different ways here. So, first off, I think what he did, not that big a deal. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree, actually. So I watched the full video, which again, I think you all should do.
We'll put the link in the description box.
Right, and look, I think in the beginning, he was trying to do his best to explain whatever business model changes Uber decided to make, and he was trying to have like a cordial discussion with him, and then, you know, they started getting loud with one another, and to be honest with you, I think most people in that situation would probably react the way that Kalanick did. I don't know, maybe that's coming from me, and maybe I'm biased because I also tend to get very fiery when I'm getting into discussions like that, right? I don't think that he really disrespected him. And also, I mean, the claim that the guy lost $97,000 and went bankrupt because of Uber, I don't know. Maybe there's some credibility to that, but I'm not necessarily buying it.
No. I mean, I hate to say it, but I'm not with the driver in almost anything here. Number one, that was not that loud. All the headlines make it seem like he was like ripping his head off. They got a little testy at the end. So, second of all, I actually agree with Kalanick that personal responsibility. Now, guys, before you flip out, I get it. Uber does not have health insurance and all those other things. We do, for example, here at TYT. But it's a different business. And the thing that drives me crazy, and again, a lot of liberals will disagree with me, is this idea that you promised me something when they didn't. So Kalanick never said he was going to give you health insurance. He said you were going to be an independent contractor, and you were. He never said he wasn't going to change the prices, and he lowered prices for consumers. That's also good for the consumers. So it reminds me of when people complain about Arianna Huffing didn't pay me to blog. She never said she was going to pay you to blog. I was one of her top bloggers. She never said that to us, never, ever, ever said that. The trade was, you're going to get extra publicity if you put it on Huffington Post, mm-hmm. but we're not, and we're going to have your article, okay? And in the case of Uber, the trade is, you get to do this job, nobody's making you be an Uber driver, mm-hmm. nobody's forcing you to do that, and in return, Uber is going to make money. That's business, right? So he says he's one of the original drivers. And he went on to complain, Kamel did, that all these angel investors, he said, in Uber turned their $20,000 into millions, but the original Uber Black car drivers got nothing. Yeah, but angel investors put money in. You didn't put money in. You signed up for a job, and they deliver the job that you signed up for. Those are two completely different things. So did Uber ever tell the drivers, oh, by the way, we're going to give you equity, and by the way, you're going to own the company? Mm-hmm. If they had said that and then reneged on it, then I'd be 1,000% on your side, right? Yeah. But they never said that. So, like, I'm not trying to minimize your pain, and I get that Uber drivers are getting really squeezed on this, and they're working really, really hard. So I know some of you are going to think I'm callous. I totally acknowledge that. But that doesn't mean that the driver is right about all these things that he charges the CEO with, because I don't think he is.
Yeah, I think, okay, so I think that I agree with you on pretty much everything that you've said. I do agree that Uber has a lot of issues that they have to deal with, one of the issues being, the misogyny within the company. You know, one of their top female engineers left and detailed some of the experiences that she had and how when she came into the company, there was, you know, a sizable portion of female employees, and then by the time she left, it dwindled down to 6%. So that's a serious issue that should be dealt with. And I think that in a free marketplace, you're going to have this issue where Uber is going to have competition. They're going to mess around with their prices and their business model in order to be part of this competitive market. And yeah, it's going to impact their drivers. And it's up to you to decide whether or not you want to drive for this company, or maybe you want to go drive for Lyft or another ride-sharing company. But the thing about this story that I just didn't get is these accusations that he, like, lost his temper. Because I watched the video, I'm like, ooh, he's going to lose his temper. When is he going to lose it? But no, he didn't lose his temper. He didn't curse the guy out. He raised his voice a little bit, and then he left before it blew up. And so I kind of give him credit for leaving before it blows up. The only thing he said that I think people are taking a lot of offense to is some people don't want to take personal responsibility. And look, that phrase rubs me the wrong way too, because usually you hear it from right wingers who just want to, you know, basically belittle the issues and problems that the poor are dealing with today. But in this case, I mean, the accusation was, I lost $97,000 because of you. I went bankrupt because of you. I just think that that's a crazy statement to make.
The headline of this being, he lost his temper. Look at this yelling match that happens.
Yeah.
And it kind of didn't happen. Almost, I think, benefits the CEO. Because if that's the narrative, it'll maybe detract from maybe there's some real problems within the organization of this business. Because there's probably things that they could be doing differently that they didn't promise. I agree. But maybe they should start maybe treating their employees differently.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a reputable company that actually respects your employees in all aspects. But if we don't talk about it, we're only going to talk about how he either, even if he did blow up and go, oh my God, what an asshole, I can't believe he did that, the conversation would end there and we wouldn't talk about what's going on within his company, which I don't know either, because we keep talking about the way he's responding to people. And even his letter to his employees, it was, oh yeah, I'm more than embarrassed. And we'll go, okay, he apologized.
Yeah, so, okay, let me give you even more context. So, look, the two things that Uber, I don't know if they're wrong about it, but that people are right to bring up as issues, is that, like, if you want to fight for Uber drivers so they get health care benefits and get better pay, bless your heart, that's a great fight. You should do that fight, right? So that, hey, if they get to change the rules and consumers get a break but the drivers get hurt, we could fight to change the rules back. That's a great fight and a legitimate fight. But as you're doing that, don't pretend that they had an obligation that they don't. And if you don't win that fight, you can go for Lyft and stuff. I'm not saying, oh, just get another job. I'm saying fight back in every way that's fair, in my opinion, right? And then the second thing is, of course, the sexual harassment allegations are terrible. And there he came out super aggressively as well to try to fix it. He had a meeting with 100 of the female workers at Uber, and then he said, I empathize with you, but I can never fully understand, and I get that, and I want to root out the injustice. Now, look, is some of that done for damage control? Of course you're going to do that if you've had those issues, right? And he's going to do the over-the-top apology for this mild, what I view to be a mild incident, because all of a sudden there's a whisper campaign that maybe he can't handle being CEO of a company mm-hmm. this large. So he's got to backpedal. On the other hand, now, he didn't do the sexual harassment, so I'm just giving you context. Now, if he ignores it and thinks it's no big deal, that's terrible. He didn't have to do it for it to be his responsibility as CEO.
Right.
On the other hand, if he finds out about it and he actually does do something about it, Well, that's what you want to happen, right? So, and now the guy who got, see, now I sense that there's a feeding frenzy. Mm-hmm. And remember how the thing we don't know here outside of the Valley is that in the Valley, there's tremendous envy and bitterness and jealousy towards Uber because
right.
it's now a $69 billion company.
Right.
Oh, they're so hurt if they didn't get into that deal or if they're their competitors or et cetera. So they're just picking and picking and picking at them. And so the guy built up a $69 billion. Okay, and by the way, he's a Trump supporter, and he was on Trump's, or he was on Trump's.
I don't know if he's a Trump supporter. Yeah.
But he was on going to help Trump with his economic team, and so people are mad at him for that too. And I, you know me, I can't stand Trump.
Right.
But let's be fair here. And so, like, finally, the guy that they just fired, he did sexual harassment at Alphabet, formerly known as Google, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do it at Uber, and Uber's the one who fired him, so to say that that's Uber's fault is maniacal.
Yeah, I don't think, actually, I haven't seen a lot of criticism toward Uber due to that particular issue. Uber actually acted very swiftly when it came to that. That engineer had been working there for only 5 months. They found out about the sexual harassment allegations against the engineer and immediately forced him to resign. So I haven't seen a lot of criticism toward Uber regarding that, but regardless of that, it's still another controversial headline that is going to
But that's what I'm
Uber's
saying,
image.
But that's not a controversy. That's not a controversy about yeah. Uber. Uber did the right thing. If anything, it's a controversy about Google, and I don't know if it is. So I get a sense of they sense blood in the water. And so they're like, we finally get to take down this guy that we've been incredibly envious of for so long. And maybe I'm wrong about that, and I'm certainly not saying that about the Uber drivers. The Uber drivers have nothing to do with it. I'm talking about the people who are writing all these stories, the people in the Valley mm-hmm. who are constantly like, oh, what did Uber do today? Oh, okay, Uber was not nice to a pedestrian. Every day there's a new story about Uber. So,
yeah.
And some of it makes sense, and some of them don't make any sense at all. So I'm just getting a little sense that everybody else is a little bitter about Uber. And so if you don't agree with me, God bless. But that's my read of what's happening here. A lot of bitter people.
All right, let's move on to a pretty devastating story. A photo showing a veterans medical center in North Carolina has gone viral, specifically because of how neglectful it seems this particular center is toward the veterans who are seeking medical attention. The photo is difficult to watch or look at, but take a quick look at these veterans who are obviously elderly laying there. Apparently, the woman who took the photo and shared it on Facebook said that some of these veterans were just in pain and just left there for hours, and she was upset about it. So her Facebook post included that photo and the following caption. Yesterday, this was taken February 24th of 2017, while in Durham, North Carolina VA hospital, my husband, Stephen McNamon, and I witnessed some very disturbing events. The man in the wheelchair on the left was waiting in the waiting room at least 3 hours. The man bent over, grabbing the chair, was yelling in pain, and was borderline convulsing and almost falling out of his chair. He was in so much pain. No one paid him any attention until I approached a nurse to please check on him. This gentleman sat in the waiting room in extreme pain for hours upon hours with very little attention paid to him. Now, when she posted the picture, I just want to note, we didn't censor their faces. She did. And so she's protecting the privacy and identities of these people. But the hospital actually reached out to her and asked her to take the photo down. But she refused to do so because of the fact that it is going viral and it's drawing attention to a serious issue. And apparently one of the men in the photos in the photo reached out to her and said, "You have my support. Please, please, please do what you can to draw attention to this."
So, you know, Ben sometimes says a picture doesn't say 1,000 words, it lies. Because if you just take a snapshot, you might get a misleading sense of what's actually going on. But they didn't. But they were there, they witnessed it. And it wasn't just a snapshot, it was 3 hours. And look, I've been in emergency rooms where some of the workers there have gotten used to a lot of pain and people complaining about pain.
Yeah.
So you'll sit there for hours when you're in a ton of pain. But we shouldn't get used to it. and we shouldn't be callous, especially if you're to veterans who fought for our country. And, you know, we talk all a big game. All the politicians talk a big game about how much they love veterans.
And Democrats and Republicans.
Right. And they stand for the troops, and they're all about the supporting the troops. And then when the troops are, you know, being mismanaged, mishandled, and mistreated, all of a sudden, not a lot of people standing behind them.
Absolutely. It's a perfect talking point when they're campaigning. Just like, you know, all the issues that they talk about and then never do anything about. Up until Trump, actually, no one would ever do anything when it came to immigration reform, comprehensive immigration reform. Trump was only the was probably the only politician who campaigned on it and then actually went out and carried through or is attempting to carry through some of his questionable policy ideas. But when it comes to this, I think that picture illustrates the failure of both Democrats and Republicans. First of all, Republicans always talk about how much they care about our veterans, but they have voted time and time again against funding the VA, or they voted in favor of cutting funds toward the VA. And Trump has been very clear about the fact that they want to privatize the VA because it's failing. It's failing. It's failing because you guys keep cutting funding toward it, right? And then also it's a failure of the Democrats because they don't fight. They don't fight. Look, I have so many examples. Bernie Sanders actually authored legislation back in 2014, the Veterans Health and Benefits and Military Retirement Pay Restoration Act. Okay, it was supposed to expand health care and education for our veterans. And Senate Republicans attached an amendment to the bill which would have imposed sanctions on Iran. Fight them! Fight them! Like, I love Bernie Sanders for authoring this type of legislation, and he is a fighter. We know he's a fighter. But other Democrats should have been so aggressive. They should have gone on every single cable show and made a big deal about that. Why are Republicans politicizing this issue? Don't the Republicans care about our vets? They say they care about our vets, so why are they trying to make this an issue about Iran, right? Which, of course, is going to lead to division within Congress, and it's never going to pass. And it didn't pass.
Yeah. And they think that it's a cute little trick.
Yeah.
And so I saw for 8 years with the Bush administration all the bumper stickers as we're sending them to war about supporting the troops. And then I saw them cut the VA. Now, it's all about priorities. So they have plenty of money for tax cuts. They had plenty of money to start the wars in the first place. We've spent several trillion dollars. Now, but remember, a lot of the money we spent goes to defense contractors. Mm-hmm. So somebody that donated to politicians got really rich off that. But there's nobody that's donating to politicians that are looking out for veterans at that's the right. Veterans Administration, right?
Yeah.
So when it comes to that, well, there's no cash in it for the politicians. So it was just a bumper sticker. We were just messing with you. And
So this week, how much did Trump want to spend on expanding the military, or at least funding more or allocating more funds to the military? $84 billion was it?
$54 billion.
So yeah, $54 billion for what? Again, private contractors, weapons manufacturers, but certainly not to fund the VA. Right? The VA is a great thing to talk about when you're campaigning. It's a great way of, you know, pushing for privatizing it, just suck the funding out of it and then privatize it, which, by the way, I mean, we know what private health care is like in the United States. You want to do that for the VA as well? The reason why public programs fail is because you suck the funding out of it. They're doing it with public education, they're doing it with the VA, and it's so frustrating because people keep falling for it.
Okay, lastly, just a couple more examples of how they do that consistently. For example, they take money out of the IRS, and then so the IRS doesn't have the resources to catch tax cheats. And then they turn around and go, see, the IRS isn't working. We need to take more money out of it. And the reason is their donors are tax cheats. So they don't want the IRS funded because they would catch the donors who are giving them millions of dollars. So, and by the way, Republicans do it and Democrats don't fight back. Why? Because they both have giant donors. So that's how this game is played. And post office, another great example. They do an accounting trick on the post office and devastate their budget. And then they turn around and go, you see that? The post office is running out of money. No, but wait a minute. That was because of a specific bill that you passed. You destroyed their budget. And then they go, no, we got to privatize. It's not working.
Right.
But privatize, now you can send a, I forget what it is these days, 44 stands or whatever. Now, if I have to send it through UPS or FedEx that's giving you campaign donations, I got to pay $15, $20, $25. What do you mean privatize it? They hate the public option because if it's properly funded, it oftentimes works. Like, for example, Social Security and Medicare, the two most popular programs in the country, and they are publicly funded. They're funded by us. They're a government program, and they work.
Yep.
Okay? And when you slash their funding, then you turn around and go, it doesn't work. Why? Because you want to privatize it so that your donors can get rich. And that's what's happening. And they play these games with our veterans, and you saw that picture, people who were ready to give their lives for us and oftentimes gave their health for us, and they still play these games on them.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, the Venezuela story that we've been promising you.
Go. All right, back on the Young Turks. The Forgotten Arm writes, if it was a VA clinic, sadly you need an appointment due to being short-staffed. Vets use the VA because they can't afford otherwise. So if you privatize it and you're like, okay, now give me $1,000. Well, I don't have $1,000. That's why I gave them the VA, right?
You know, but luckily we're going to have these great health savings accounts where we can save money to pay for our own private health care. Except if you don't have money, then you're screwed.
Okay. Anyways, if you underfund the VA, that's what happens. There's not enough staff, longer lines, people wait in pain longer. Leon Vincent HK says, I too gravitate to certain people in the TYT network, but on a higher level, I love and respect all of you as you are individually unique.
See, you're my favorite kind of viewer, right? Yeah. Like, it's okay to have your faves. I have my faves, but just don't tell us about it.
Okay. All right, Leon, thank you. Titty Riot says, about the Uber CEO as he was leaving the car. Also, that parting line was incredibly obtuse and condescending. Is it the worst thing in the world? No, but it's not appropriate. That's the one that got under your skin, too, the one about personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Andrea Mondello says, I really disagree, Cenk. I know it because she capitalized it. Uber drivers are not truly independent contractors. Company sets rates, must get fares from company, etc. Okay, fair point, Andrea. I understand it. And I, too, am worried that I'm being a little too callous by saying you could work for other companies. And that's why I say fight for their workers' rights. I have no issues with that. But it's kind of like this, right? Let's say McDonald's pays $7.25 in Mississippi, which I think they do, right? Mm-hmm. In Alabama, I know for sure that Alabama is $7.25. So you can say, hey, let's fight for 15, and I'm 1,000% with you. But it's like another thing to say, like, man, McDonald's said it was going to give me $12, then it gave me $7.25. No, McDonald's never said it was going to give you $12.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and look, to be more specific to the incident in that tape, it was just this accusation that he lost $97,000. Right, and that he went bankrupt because of Uber.
Yeah, like, that's the part that got under my skin.
It got under my skin as well. Like, honestly, if he hadn't have said that, I would have been more sympathetic to the arguments of the driver. But once he said that, it was like, okay, well, you're being hyperbolic, and now, I don't know. I'm not taking you as seriously, which maybe is unfair, but it is what it is. I don't believe for a second that driver was making $97,000 and lost it because Uber changed its rates. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong, but I know a lot of people who are Uber drivers because I'm a millennial, and let's keep it real, a lot of millennials drive Uber.
Anyway. I'm going to say one last thing, unrelated to any of that. I don't like that they're now recording on Ubers. I had a driver that was recording too, and I realized at the end of the ride. But I was telling, I had personal conversations in the car.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
So now,
no more personal hanky panky, you know, in the back seat anymore either.
Yeah. And now that not only do they record it, and then they're releasing it to the public. So that's actually a bigger dick move by the driver. So. And look, by the way, if you want to pick an Uber on anything, I'd actually pick on them for that.
So, okay, hold. I actually...
I know that they say that they're doing it for safety until all of a sudden they're releasing it on the internet. And it has nothing to do with safety.
Yeah. I mean, if I were an Uber driver, I'd be filming the entire time just to keep it. But I wouldn't leak tapes like that. I mean, that's just me. I don't know.
Okay, $50 from Christine in New York for our journalism drive. 76 from Colin in Canada, 40 from Daniel in Germany. Damn, Daniel, you did it again. And our, can I see it one last time? TYTnetwork.com/go. No, can't see it. That's all right. We're moving on. See, I'm a reasonable guy. Member shout-outs are Justin Werner and Danielle Sullivan. So let me tell you all the wonderful things that members are going to get today. Number one, in the postgame, I will tell you a story of when I was kept too long in an emergency room and the devastating consequences, not just for me, but for those around me. And then I
have a story, too.
Anna has a story.
I do.
Okay. And then also my super cool new nickname, which just came up organically in a conversation I had with a reporter, of all people. I will tell that in the postgame. And then we've got TYT Classics. Tonight I'm super psyched. Old School, Ben Mankiewicz, and Mark Thompson. I love that combo, and me. And then I have two interviews for you guys, too, including Ryan Clinton from America's Take Action. Ryan is the guy who did the Russian flags at CPAC.
Yeah.
So he's going to be in the studio here. So check out all of that if you're a member at tytnetwork.com/join. Okay, Anna.
All right. Venezuela is currently undergoing a devastating economic crisis, and as a result, individuals living in the country do not have access to affordable food. And so many people are losing an insane amount of weight in a very short period of time. Recently, there was a study done by the country's National Survey of Living Condition. Three major universities in Venezuela get together to do this survey. And what they found was that, on average, people have lost 19 pounds in 1 year. According to the new results from an annual national survey, nearly three-quarters of respondents reported losing an average of 19 pounds between 2015 and 2016. Also, the portion of respondents who said they ate two or fewer meals increased threefold, climbing from 11.3% in 2015 to 32.5% in the past year. That's around 9.6 million people in a country of roughly 30 million, and they're eating at this rate.
So let's just pause there for a second.
Yeah.
That is literally unbelievable. I don't believe it. So now let me explain what I believe and don't believe. The phenomenon is obviously real because of the people that are skipping meals and because they can't afford the third meal. And that tracks over the same period of time, and it is affecting a great number of people, and the economy is in ruins. Mm-hmm. All that is super real. Three quarters of respondents losing on average 19 pounds in just 1 year, they got to double check the numbers on that. That is the most, if it's true, if they double check it, an independent source does, and it's true, it's stunning. Stunning, 19 pounds on average in 1 year for three quarters of respondents in Venezuela.
So the
I've never seen an economy that devastated in a single year, if it's true.
Okay, so let's talk about methodology a little bit. This is a survey, so of course it's based on self-reporting. And so people in Venezuela right now are angry, they are hungry, and the economic situation is devastating. So could some of them be exaggerating their weight loss while responding to this survey? Absolutely. But the economic situation there is a complete and utter disaster for various reasons. But the biggest reason is that they were solely dependent on their oil. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as the oil prices dropped, and that started back in 2014, I mean, they were screwed. They were heavily reliant and continue to be heavily reliant on imports. They don't produce anything in the country other than oil. And so they're importing everything. Inflation has gone through the roof. Countries like Saudi Arabia, for instance, of course, their number one market or number one product is oil as well. But Saudi Arabia planned ahead. They didn't spend as much money as Venezuela did. Venezuela spent all its money on a lot of social programs, right?
But hold on. Look, there's a little bit of propaganda in there, too. So let me explain. So I'm not defending Hugo Chavez and Maduro in Venezuela, especially Maduro. I think the economy is a mess. They should have planned better, etc. But they do a lot of propaganda against Venezuela because they're socialist. And so, no, socialism is the wrong way to go. Don't spend money on your own citizens. Now, when you do spend money on your own citizens, you still have to be careful and figure out what is a good long-term strategy.
That's right.
But Saudi Arabia has a lot less people than Venezuela does. And so, yeah, they didn't overspend, partly because the royalty keeps most of the money.
Yeah, and by the way, just let me be clear about something. I'm just bringing Saudi Arabia because some people might bring up that country and be like, well, if Saudi Arabia relies heavily on oil, then how come when oil prices went down, Saudi Arabia's economy didn't suffer as much? That's the only reason why I'm bringing it up. I'm not saying Saudi Arabia has a good way of governing and a good economic situation that's fair and equal for everyone. I'm just saying that those are the two differences.
No, I understand that, but let's continue to talk about the larger issues here. I've almost never seen an article about Venezuela in the West that didn't talk about, oh, the socialism doesn't work. Socialism, though, the problem is socialism, right?
Yeah.
But no, that's not the real issue. The real issue is countries that have huge oil reserves, and by the way, Venezuela has the largest oil reserve in the world, which is amazing, never build effective economies. You think the Gulf countries, whether it's Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Dubai, you name it, Qatar, whatever, no, they're all absolutely propped up by oil money, okay? Mm-hmm. And even Russia's a disaster now because the oil prices have gone down. That's part of the reason that they're lashing out and doing the Trump thing and yada yada, right? So that oil makes them rich and lazy. And so they get overly dependent on oil because it's so easy. It's so easy that you just drill, you get the money, uh-huh. and then you spend it, and a lot of times you overspend it. So the problem isn't socialism. They don't have that in the Gulf at all. The underlying problem is hooking your economy up to oil.
I know, Cenk. Look, I'm not saying that it's, oh my God, the economy sucks only because of the fact that they spent the money on their own citizens. No, it's a three-pronged issue, right? It's the over-reliance on oil. They put all their eggs in that basket. The over-reliance on imports and not producing anything in their own country, right? And then also the fact that they weren't as responsible and they didn't plan ahead with their money. I'm not saying don't spend that money on social programs. Of course, I love social programs. I think that it's important, especially when it comes to things like wealth and income inequality, equality. But I'm just saying that there are various issues here at play that led to rapid inflation and led to all these people being hungry.
Yeah, and I agree with that. So it drives me crazy that they bungle it so thoroughly.
Yeah.
And part of the reason they bungle it is because when they're high on oil, they think like, oh, that's okay. Nothing's going to go wrong. We don't need a rainy day fund. We don't need to worry about the future. And we don't need to build other industry. Look, so let me tell you about what a mess Venezuela is to read you the last graphic here. The International Monetary Fund estimates that the country's inflation is expected to rise 1,660% this year and 2,880% next year.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. So, yes, the government in Venezuela has absolutely made a mess of it, and there's corruption. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, you take oil away from those Gulf countries, and they will disappear into the desert. They have no other industry. It's just that there's very few people who live there, and the royalty, even when oil prices go down, are still billionaires. So there's the appearance of everything is fine. You stop they run out of oil reserves or gas reserves in those countries, they're going to be into the wind, man. There's going to be nothing left in those countries. They have no other industry. Why? Same problem as Venezuela. They hit the crack pipe and they hit the heroin too hard. Mm-hmm. They're hooked on it. Once you take it out, there's nothing left.
Yep. All right, let's go back to the United States and talk, no, actually Canada, and talk about the quality of food there. All right. Researchers in Canada looked at the quality of meat at fast food chains and found out that the oven roasted chicken at Subway isn't necessarily completely chicken.
All right. Let's pause to note how funny that line is. The chicken at Subway is not necessarily chicken.
Okay, so the Canadian Broadcast Corporation did DNA tests of the meat products at major fast food chains. And so Subway had the most questionable results from these DNA tests. According to, let me get the graphic. So there's the picture of the chicken in question. All right. The results showed that the oven-roasted chicken patties averaged 53.6% chicken DNA, while the sweet onion chicken teriyaki strips came in at 42.8%.
Okay. No, to be fair, though, to defend Subway here, their chicken is at least 42% chicken.
Oh, my God. Okay, so here's, if you're in the United States, here's what should concern you the most, okay? This was a study done in Canada which I would argue has higher standards when it comes to the food that they eat. In the United States, I would be surprised if 5% of that product was chicken. I don't know. Maybe I'm being unfair. I'm just saying we're in the United States.
Yeah, and we're so the reason Anna is saying that is not because we care less about food. There's a lot of Americans who care a lot about food. It's that we defund our FDA and we let industry run our practices when it comes to foods and drugs, et cetera. And then ironically, we turn around and tell Canada, I don't know if your drugs are safe, because their drugs are cheaper. Our drug companies don't want them imported. But there's the famous stories of standing up cows that have mad cow disease just so that they could pass through the conveyor belt and go, they're standing, they're standing, they're fine. And that goes into our food supply, et cetera. So we're notoriously, and when you go to Asia, there'll be big signs in restaurants saying, no American beef here. Like they brag that, no, don't worry, there's no unsafe American food here. So like before you get all cocky about, ha ha, Canada and their chickens coming home to roost. you might want to check out what we're doing here as well.
Okay, so let's be fair to the Canadian subway chain. They did release a statement, and they're denying the results, or at least they're saying they question the results. They think that it might be inaccurate. They say, we are concerned by the alleged findings you cite with respect to the proportion of soy content. Our chicken strips are oven-roasted chicken. And oven-roasted chicken contain 1% or less of soy protein. We use this ingredient in these products as a means to help stabilize the texture and moisture. All of our chicken items are made with 100% white meat chicken, which is marinated, oven-roasted, and grilled. We tested our chicken products recently for nutritional and quality attributes and found it met our food quality standards.
Last sentence doesn't mean anything. We recently tested the stuff we're putting in the sandwiches and thought, we rock. That's not a thing. That's not a standard.
Okay. So some of you are like, okay, well, what the hell? What's the rest of that patty or what's in the rest of the chicken? It's usually soy product, right? So it's not like it's rat meat or something crazy like that, but it's not necessarily chicken.
Just when you thought this story couldn't get any worse for Subway, Anna mentions rat meat reason.
But there isn't rat meat. There is no indication that there's rat
meat. But no, really, no rat meat.
Okay, look, but here's the thing. The most important part of this story is the results from Wendy's. So let's get to that, okay? Wendy's grilled chicken sandwich averaged 88.5% chicken, while McDonald's grilled country chicken averaged 84.9%, according to the findings. Yes! Yes! You know why I say yes? Because Wendy's is freaking awesome. I love Wendy's. Wendy's is underrated. And I'm so happy that the majority of their meat product is actually meat.
Okay. So now, let's clarify. Wendy's is not a sponsor, although call me.
They should be, because I actually genuinely do love Wendy's. Those little cheeseburgers that they have are so good. Anyway.
Yes. I that was my favorite thing at work when I worked in construction as a 12-year-old. that we get to go to Wendy's for lunch. Anyway, it's not an ad for Wendy's. So, look, the reason that context is important is, yes, in order to stabilize the food, they do add stuff in there that is not all chicken. But there is a range, and so Wendy's and McDonald's, to their credit here, is predominantly chicken. But if you fall below 50%, can you really call it chicken? Or is that a soy sandwich with some chicken in it?
Mm-hmm. Done, man. I'm with you, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, 88.5. So 11.5% is not chicken, and we love that. My mind went there, too. I was like, that's, whoa, 88.5.
This good is for amazing. Them. Like, by the way, this is in Canada. I don't know what it is in the States. Like,
so it's like, we've trumped all of these things. Like, oh, Trump didn't shit on the floor last night, so it must have been an amazing speech. So, that's right. So now, oh, Wendy's 11.5 is not chicken. Yes. So, like, we're on that whole realm.
It's
and
so true.
To be fair, to Subway, you know, their standards of their meat. I got pulled over by the cops. I was drunk driving. I said, you know, to be honest, you know, my standard for drinking and driving was just fine, officer. You have to let me go.
Yeah.
JR did not actually get pulled over, nor is there rat meat in Subway sandwich. Okay. Look, part of it is that we we've done the stories already, and we know that the chicken nugget, was that pink goop that they do? Like,
yeah,
it's got some chicken in it for the
McDonald's.
For McDonald's.
We did a McDonald's story, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like, look, to be fair to McDonald's, over the past few years, they've really upped their game. Mm-hmm. And like the quality of their food, you can see it. Like their chicken patties. And again, this is not an ad. They're not our sponsors. But you break it, you tear it apart or break it in half, you can see that it's actually chicken, right? Whereas before it was like this weird spongy material. So they have upped their game.
Yeah. And for decades, people would say filet of fish, right? Mm-hmm. Love it. So look, it can still taste good and not necessarily be 100% of whatever they say it is. So we've all developed some thick skin around what chicken and other food products we're getting in at the fast food chains. Come on, guys. Some of the taco chains, you're getting tacos for 49 cents.
Yeah, oh my God.
Really? You think it's like great Argentinian steak that they chopped up and put in that 49 cent taco? Like when they advertised, I think once it was like 39 cent tacos, I was like, don't advertise that. Right? That doesn't make me feel any better. Like, I'm okay going all the way up to 99 cents for a taco.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. In the postgame, I'll tell you another story from another fast food chain. One I shouldn't tell you. So, tytnetwork.com/join. Okay, are we out of time?
We're out of time.
All right, that is what it is, folks. So, postgame, inappropriate story about a fast food a chain that I shouldn't tell you. A cool new nickname I have. And disastrous emergency room stories.
All right.
So, hell of a postgame. tytnetwork.com/join. Bye-bye.